Ramsey TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula, you know me, I'm Martin Zender. You might know this guy. I've linked to a couple of his videos. It's Matthew Michelson from Reno, Nevada.
Really wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to be here. I can tell you're thrilled. You're absolutely thrilled.
I am so thrilled.
But he actually is. He actually is. He flew in yesterday, and yeah, you've been having a good time. You were surprised at how warm it is down here.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. I was thinking, you know, it was going to be nice, but it wasn't going to be, like, summer nice, and that's what it is.
So. Yeah, because, I mean, I think of Reno as, like, a hot place, but it's not. In the winter, it's...
Yeah, in the winter, it gets cold.
It gets cold, because you always have those clear skies, and the heat just evaporates. I'm going to try not to move over this far, because then they'll see our bottle of wine... Right here. I don't want anybody to see that. I don't want anybody. You notice it's not open. So see, we don't have any plans to open it, do we?
Oh
No. We're members of the body of Christ.
That's right.
Yes, we only drink grape juice. We only drink grape juice. Mm-hmm. So Matthew.
Yes.
I met you at the Richmond conference.
Yes.
Last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some wonderful talks there that you did.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. I'll pay your $20 later. you flew, like, I love it when people go out of their way to get together with members of the body of Christ. I mean, you're out in Reno, and you went almost all the way across the country to go to Virginia. So what brought you here? What brought you to Richmond, and why do you fly all this distance to see me or to see those few wonderful saints in Richmond, Virginia?
Because that's where I would want to be more than anywhere else in the world, is to be with our family, our family of faith.
It is a family. What religion were you raised in?
I was raised in the Episcopal Church, and I was there until I was about 13 or 14. I mean, I still went with them every now and then, you know, afterwards. But... Right around the age of 13, I read a paraphrase of the New Testament, Good News for Modern Man.
At 13, that's a really early age to be interested in reading the scripture on your own.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was curious about Jesus Christ, and I just wanted to know what it really had to say about him. You know, they had the traditions in the church, but I just wanted to find out for myself, and it blew me away just... the things he said and did, you know.
It was probably helpful at 13 to read a paraphrase.
Yeah, it was a lot easier to read that.
Yeah,
yes.
Because if somebody had handed you the Concordant Literal New Testament, or, you know, Young's Literal at age 13, even the King James Bible, you would have said, like, what's this?
Yeah, I would have gotten bored pretty fast. So.
Yeah, thou art...
They got lots
thou
of...
shalt.
They have lots of nice little animation, little drawings in there too, you know.
Oh, yeah. I always look for pictures when I open a book.
Yeah.
So what did you learn from that particular Bible at age 13 that you didn't know going to the Episcopal Church?
I learned about the character of Jesus when he was here on earth with us, and he cared for the people around him, and... he was honest, and he was upfront around hypocrisy, and he, and of course his miracles too, you know.
It was probably hard to read about that Christ in that version and to make it square with the God, the Christ that condemns most of humanity.
It was, but you know, because it was a bad translation, you know, I just assumed that they must both be right, and I was trying to figure that out, you know, and I went to the Pentecostals to figure it out, because
misfire.
Yeah, I figured, wow, you know, these people are always talking about the Holy Spirit, they must be really in contact with God that way, and you know, that was a huge mistake. I really got burned out from that. So
in the relative, it was a huge mistake. Yet in God's perfect plan, he was bringing you step by step.
He was, yes.
What finally pushed you out of the Pentecostal? So that was phase two. You went to, actually it was phase, I'm going to call it phase three.
Right.
Because you started in the Episcopal Church. Did I get that right?
Yeah. That's
and, why and I then, was born and then raised, you started reading the scriptures on your own. And then, of course, you felt like you needed a spiritual home of some kind.
Right.
But even reading it without a good translation, speaking for myself now, I guess, you read about the works of Christ and his miracles and his compassion.
Yeah.
And even in a bad translation, you can't make this loving Christ that's on earth, you can't make him match with the eternal torment Christ.
No,
right?
You can't.
You can't. So off you go to the Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
Lots of excitement there. You hear the word Holy Spirit and you think, "Wee!"
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, I went and kind of, you know, did their things. I you know, was raising my hands and, singing and going along with the speaking in tongues and things. I just kind of expected, you know, my relationship to God, with God, to come out of that.
One would think.
Yeah, one would think. But, you know, I never found anything from that. And, you know, all the while inside of myself, you know, I didn't really feel confident in my conversion to Christianity as they represented it.
Yeah.
Saying that you have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And of course you have to be genuine about that. And I didn't really feel that genuineness inside myself. You know,
they always make you doubt yourself,
exactly,
whether it was a legitimate salvation experience, which is why people always go back to the altar when they have altar calls.
Exactly.
Try to, you know, double down on it. Maybe the last one wasn't, I wasn't sincere enough.
Yeah. And I just thought there was something about me that sucked. And
there is something about you that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that on a personal level.
Yeah. No.
I'm saying it on a Romans 3 level, that there's no one righteous, no, not one.
Exactly.
And you instinctively knew there's something about me that sucks that can't be sure.
Yeah. God wouldn't let me feel good about it.
That's fantastic.
He wouldn't let me feel good about it the whole time I was there, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time I thought it was a terrible thing, and now I'm glad that he wouldn't allow me to feel good about, you know, my cheap willpower.
Your cheap willpower. That's a great name for a book. I think I'm going to steal that.
And, all right, it's all yours,
and I think Paul should have started Romans 3 with something about you sucks. I think that should be Romans 3:1. Something about you sucks. And then he can go into Jeremiah, and he can go into, you know, no one righteous, no, not one.
Yeah.
So you were the only honest person in the group.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Because somehow they fooled themselves into thinking they don't suck and that their conversion was almighty great and super special. And so they were able to look at others and condemn them.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to figure out that that was empty in the Pentecostal church?
No. I think I kind of stopped going there probably about 22 or 23. I went up to Alaska at 24.
That's a nice way to get away from everything.
Yeah, 2000. I just wanted to get away and just experience some life and adventure. And so I lived up in Anchorage for a while.
Right.
About 9 months I lived up in Anchorage.
I was kind of hoping you built a cabin in the woods and you hunted caribou.
That's
and,
right.
You
know, yeah.
Dressed them for dinner and all
that.
Oh,
yeah. Living on the Yukon, going down and up and down the Yukon.
Yeah. But instead, you were in Anchorage, probably living in an apartment. That's okay. Don't feel bad about that.
That's what they say about Anchorage. The best thing about Anchorage is that it's so close to Alaska.
You know? That's a good one. Only the locals will get that one. So, did you go to church at all when you were up there in Alaska?
Well, I did go once or twice. In one of my videos, I talk about this bad experience I had with pot up there, and it was just like it was laced with something, but it was really strong, and I was really paranoid. It really got me to face my fear of God that I had in me. You know, I was.
Wow, that's interesting. It actually did you a favor.
It did. It did. It was. It made me aware of how ridiculous. Wow. Eternal conscious torment was. It made me aware that this is something that it doesn't make sense with the loving God.
Wow, that's interesting. Know? We are not recommending this as a matter of course. This is not. We're not saying smoke pot in order to get a revelation about God.
No,
however,
yeah,
the God uses everything, mm-hmm. and He happened to use that. So you're smoking that pot. and some you had a new thought about God that you didn't have before.
I didn't have it right away. Okay. It was kind of something over the course of the next months, because I had like flashbacks to it, and I had hallucinations that reminded me of the horrible experience. Just the world has kind of turned really evil and horrible, and you know, everybody seemed, you know, like out to get me and stuff, you know, you know, every now and then I'd have a panic attack that took me back to it. But you know, I just had this fear that I was dealing with, and I couldn't compare that to a God of love,
right?
That would just allow that suffering to be just going on and everything.
God put you smack up against that.
Smack up against what exactly it is that Christianity is throwing at people,
right?
You know.
And then what happened when you got home then? What did you pursue? Did you go back to the Pentecostal church, or was that it for them?
No, yeah. I was totally past done that with at that them. Point. Yeah.
So now you're on your own, kind of seeking on your own. But you didn't stop seeking. I mean, that's a great thing about what God was doing with you.
No,
is it? You just kept moving.
I didn't
stagnate anywhere.
Yes.
So what was the next step?
Well, after I got home, you know, I did some recovery. You know, I was kind of messed up. I had just had eye surgery. My eyes were having problems, and I had eye surgery to fix my eyes. I went and got back into school, you know, just to try to get on my feet, you know, and you know, be independent on my own. And you know, I was kind of lonely. I got married in 2000.
Most people do that when they get lonely.
Yeah.
Maybe people should buy a dog instead. I don't know.
Yeah, I met Sheila, my ex-wife. I met her in 2004, and I dated her for a year, and then we got married a year later in 2005. And
you produced offspring.
Yes, I did.
You have a son.
Yes, and I had two other children that didn't make it that we'll see on the new earth someday, I believe.
Sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah. The first one was just a miscarriage, and it happened on our wedding day. We didn't get to go to the reception for that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And we named that one Val, because we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, so we just made it simple and called it Val. Val. V-A-L. Then a couple years later, 2007, Corinne Elise was on the way, and I remember reading to her in the womb the story, The Velveteen Rabbit. And, you know, that's a very spiritual book, I find.
Mm.
I can really relate to it.
Yeah.
Especially now. You know, I didn't relate to it as much then, but I relate to it even more now. Yeah, she was on the way. And then we had my son who's with us, son Seth Samuel. He's 10 years old now. So
that's touching about the two children that you lost, because you have the faith to understand that, of course, life begins at conception, and that God forgets no life, and that you are confident.
I am.
Because those children were part of the human race. Therefore,
they're
involved in Adam, and they shall then, of course, by default, be involved in Christ, who... Mm-hmm. Is the last Adam. So yes, you are going to see them someday. I love that faith. I love that faith of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah. So then, how did you figure out that God was the savior of all humanity?
Well, when my daughter Corinne Elise was on the way, I wanted to try and get a worldview. I didn't really have anything in particular at the time, you know. And I was dating Sheila. She was a Christian. She wasn't really a churchgoer, but we both decided that we wanted to get some kind of foundation and something established. So we checked out a Bible study through a church, it was there that I met Jesse Price, my very good friend Jesse Price.
Okay.
And he...
we better say hi to Jesse.
Yes.
Right here.
How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Jesse. All right. So what happened when you met him?
So... He told me that he had a fallen out from Christianity as well, and when he was on his own, he found that God was telling him that he needed a father in his life, you know. And I don't think he's completely a believer yet, but I think he's kind of on that road, you know. And
so the father in his life would be the father?
The father, yeah. And he told me that the other things that he felt like God was telling him was about responsibility, learning responsibility. That didn't mean a lot to me. But the other thing was that to have a relationship with God is to allow God to love you, to let God love you. And so that made me think about, you know, that it starts with Him and not with us, you know.
But that sounds like it starts with a human. Like, let yeah. God love you. Unless yeah, you I let know. God love you.
It's more than that. It's more than that. He yeah. does love us.
And, yeah, and in fact, know. yeah. That whole thing of letting yeah. God love you is like I control the gateway if God loves me or not, exactly. right? But that we know that's not true, that's, that no. God, like, invades.
He gives us
love whether we allow Him to or not. Like, like Saul on the road to Damascus, kapow.
Yeah.
So you were on the internet looking around for, because you had some doubts about this thing yeah. called hell. What happened next?
After I got divorced, you know, I thought this was all great, these revelations that Jesse had, but I didn't see anything in my life. I didn't think God had anything to say to me at all. And so, you know, I said, you know what, I'm just going to be agnostic. I'm just going to step back from everything,
yeah.
and just start questioning everything. I was questioning whether Jesus was even a real person. I was, you know, and I was questioning the ideas that they throw out there in Christianity, you know. And so first I was typing in just things about hell that people post on YouTube and stuff. And
it's strange because you are an agnostic, so-called, and at the same time, you're looking for knowledge. Agnostic, yeah. no knowledge, like we can't know about God. So yeah. now that I'm an agnostic, I think I'll seek for knowledge on God. So in spite of your so-called agnosticism, yeah. you couldn't help it.
I just want to...
You're on the internet yeah. looking for knowledge.
I was.
You were never an agnostic. You were never an agnostic. I don't care how much you say. I became an agnostic. No, you didn't. If you had been, you wouldn't have been on the internet looking yeah. up hell.
Yeah. I don't know.
So what happened when you looked up the word hell?
Well, you know, I was looking for a rational reason behind something like that. I was trying to figure out how a God of love could allow that, and of course there wasn't any.
Yeah.
All there was fear-mongering and fear-mongering and sensationalism.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I said, okay, fine, let's look at something else. So I said, hell is a lie.
Nice search term.
I put hell is a lie, and I came...
That was the key. That was the golden ticket, it seems to me. What happened after that?
It brought me to two things. You know, the normal atheist, everything... that has to do with God is terrible.
Yeah. Not only do they say hell is a lie, but everything's a lie.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
is a lie too. Heaven yeah. is a lie. Everything's a lie.
Yeah. And it brought me to supporters of universal salvation, which I had never heard before. And they were showing that all the scriptures, all the New Testament scriptures support it, that, you know, that the mistranslations of the word hell is actually Gehenna and Sheol for the Hebrew, and Hades, which is the same as Sheol.
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know, that was talking about death. It wasn't talking about a mythical torture chamber, you know?
Yeah. I want to give credit to whatever site that was that you first yeah. went to. What was it? Do you remember the name?
It was the first one I came across was called Truth 96130.
Strange name, but
really wonderful. And he lists 100 reasons why hell is a lie. That was the first thing I watched.
Yeah, nice.
And it just goes on and on. Scripture, it goes on about the scriptures themselves, which support universal salvation, and it goes on just about about rational reasoning about how God would never allow that, you know, and that God is the Savior, that Christ is the Savior of the whole world.
The greatest thing that I discovered when I found the Concordant Publishing concern was that thing you call rational reasoning. Most Christians would balk at that
yeah.
because they think that things are of faith. They have to be mystical. They have to be magical. You don't have any mystery. Reason for them.
Yeah.
A mystery like the Trinity. Well, yeah. you can't use your rational mind. Why? Why can't I use my rational mind? God gave it to me. Well, in order to believe this BS we believe, you have to
right.
not use your rational mind. So I love that term, although it sounds, if a Christian heard us saying that, oh, these guys are too intellectual. They don't flow by the Spirit. But dang it, the spirit is logical.
Yes.
So, all right, you use your logical mind, you find all these great facts, and then I think you told me you went to, Tent Maker, Gary Amaral's
yes,
site, right?
Yes, Tent Maker 777. He had some great videos, and also very rational, rational understanding of why Christ is the Savior of the whole world. And you know, I still believed in the Trinity at that point, but you know, I came across your site.
You came across my site, and you didn't believe in the Trinity for long.
I didn't believe it in long, and I just realized, oh yeah, I mean, yeah, that what is he saving us from? He is saving us from death, which was the curse of Adam.
Right, right.
You know,
did you see the video of me throwing eggs at the Trinity?
Yes, I love that video. That's a great video.
Good, yeah, that does it. Either you, I drive people off the fence. Mm-hmm. People watch that video and they either turn it off as fast as they can because this guy's going to hell. He's throwing eggs at the Trinity, or they can't turn away. It's like, what?
Yeah, the Spirit just confirmed it in me, you know?
Yeah.
And man, I was just so freaking set free when I found this stuff, you know? It was just this faith just coming into me, you know? And, you know, I've been free ever since, you know?
It's a beautiful testimony.
Glad to be part of the body of Christ with you all. So
Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ frees us. Well, I'm happy that you came here all the way from Reno to spend 3 days with me, and I hope that we can. I hope that before you leave, we can get another show with you. We can maybe talk about a particular topic.
Absolutely.
But remember, I introduced you, the body of Christ. I introduced you to Matthew Michelson's site where he makes videos from Reno, Nevada, but we're going to relink to that. So you might have seen him already. He makes really good videos, straightforward, rational, and logical and reasonable.
Getting better.
Now, yeah, starting great. So I'm going to put that link down here again. It's hard to find your site, I must tell you that.
Yeah.
It's hard to find your site, but hey, nothing worthwhile is ever easy. So I'll put that down here, and I hope we can get together again before you leave. Cool. And so it is a joy always to be with the body of Christ, and
thank you.
Hopefully we will see you again soon, like tomorrow.
Absolutely.